Good morning. Good to see you. Merry Christmas. Hey, a couple of weeks back, Andrew said to me, Cameron, can you speak on the 21st of January? Of December. And I said, sure. And I said, what do you want me to speak on? He said, you decide. Now that is dangerous. I was super excited. And then I prayed about it. And I felt like the Lord gave me something else that he wanted me to speak about tonight. Have you ever, I've got a whiteboard. I'm using a whiteboard. I feel like a teacher. I hope you can see it. If you can't, oh well. Have you ever read scripture? And as you've read it, yes, you say yes. Well, that's very good. Good work, team. You know, you're reading scripture and as you read it, you go, this can't be true. Because it's too good to be true. Have you ever read scripture where you, as you're sitting down, you have it open to you and you go, I can't believe that the Bible actually says this. Is this true? Because it just seems too good to be true. And today, all I want to do is simply walk through a passage in the Bible where I look at it and I go, are you kidding me? Is this true? Because it just seems too good to be true. And all I want to do is encourage your hearts this morning as we move into the Christmas season with a scripture that I think sounds brilliant. Is that all good? So if you've got your Bibles with you, could you look up Ephesians 3? We're going to read Ephesians 3, 14 to 20. It's going to come up on the screen. But this is what it says. Listen to the words. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. And I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. And may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who's able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Notice in verse 18, it simply says this: may you have the power to understand as God's people how wide and long and high and deep God's love is. In other words, Apostle Paul is saying this: God's love is so long, so wide, so deep that you need the power of God to comprehend it. You need divine help to grasp the love of God. You can't think your way into it. No matter how much you think about it, no matter how much theological agreement you give to it, you might theologically go, yep, God loves me. But it's saying here that in God's power, through God's power, may you understand how wide and long and high and deep God's love is. You need his divine help to grasp how big his love is. Amen? It's not like you're going to, I mean, this can happen, it does happen. You hear stories about it, that, you know, one day you're worshiping God or you're in church or at home and suddenly the Spirit of God comes on you and just start weeping and crying and you just have this revelation of God's love. That happens. But for most of us, what happens is over time, God quietly speaks to us about his love. He slowly opens up our eyes and we begin to get this glimpse of how wide, how long, how high, and how deep the love of God is. But you need divine help because it's that magnificent. You can't think your way into it. It's that magnificent. So I want to write the word here, power. Note, it also says in verse 18, may you have power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide and long and high and deep God's love. It says this, as all God's people should. My friends, this is all-inclusive. You may be sitting there right now and you go, but you don't know my history or my story or my secret sins. And it says here, as all God's people should. It's all inclusive. God's heartbeat, his passion is that through his divine power, every single one of you will have a glimpse of how wide and how long and how high and deep God's love is. And then it goes on to say in verse 19, may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. In other words, he's saying this. Apostle Paul is not saying this. May you theologically agree that God loves you. He's not saying that. He's saying this. May you experience his love. In Psalms it says this, taste and see that the Lord is good. If you taste something, you are experiencing something. Apostle Paul is saying this goes well beyond theological agreement. He says, I long for you to experience God's love. But then it says this, though it is too great for you to understand fully, you will never arrive. You and I will never get to the place where God, by his divine power, reveals how long and wide and how deep his love is. But you never arrive because it's too good, it's too magnificent for you to get while on earth. You never, ever arrive. Good news? Outstanding news, my friends. Outstanding news. Let me write this down. I want to write the word love. So in Ephesians 3, 4 to 20, what we have so far is Apostle Paul simply saying this. You need the power of God, his divine help, to grapple with how deep and wide and long the love of God is. You know, you need divine help. You need his help to understand the depths of God's love. But you're never going to arrive because it's too magnificent. Then it goes on to say, then you'll be made complete with the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. What does it mean to be filled with the fullness of life? It's this, that you look like Jesus. That you know his joy and his peace and his grace. It's that you know the values of God and you align yourself with his values. It's that you know his desires and you begin to align yourself with his desires. So what's it saying here is that you, the power of God, reveals the love of God, and then the love of God gives you the fullness of life. Does that make sense? My friends, I think Apostle Paul would be preaching and he'd say it just like this. You need God's divine help to understand how long and wide and high and deep God's love is. You're never going to arrive, but the more you understand God's love, the more the fullness of life you're going to experience. More grace, more peace, more joy. You align yourself with his values and you align yourself with his desires. If you want to be a follower of Jesus who is passionate about Jesus, if you want to be a follower of Jesus that says, I want to chase after his heart and his desires, you know what you need? You need more revelation of the love of God. You need more revelation of how wide, how long and how high and deep is the love of God. And in that same verse it says this, Now then you'll be made complete with the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. I wrote the word power again. It's interesting, it starts with power and it ends with power. In other words, you need God's divine help to know his love. You understand his love and he gives you fullness of life. And understanding his love means that you move in power. What does that mean? You have the strength to follow him. My friends, if you want to be followers of Jesus, if you want to be people that says, I want your values, I want your desires to be my desires, if you want to be transformed and look like Jesus, if you want to have the power and the strength to follow him, you know what you need? You need a revelation of the width, height and depth and the love of God. Isn't that good news? You know why I love this? Because so often we could be minimal Christians where we do church every second week. Every now and then we tithe our money. And we go to a program that's run in our church. But this goes well beyond that. This is this, Christians who are captivated by the love of Jesus. Who are growing to become like Jesus and are strengthened to follow him because they are captivated by the love of Jesus. Amen? This, I would suggest, is the Christmas story. And then in verse 20, oh my giddy aunt, because it says this, it just keeps getting better. Now all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we ask or think. According to the power of God that is at work within you, he can accomplish more than you ask or think. I can ask for a whole lot. And I can think through a whole lot. But God says this, he goes beyond that. When God, by his divine help, reveals his love. He then reveals his love and you experience fullness of life. You want to follow him and you get the strength to do it. He then moves us to a place where he can do in you more than you ask or imagine. Because you're captivated by love. You know, one of the ways that I think God does this, how does God do things in us that we couldn't even ask or imagine? I think what he does is he gives us a holy discontent. What I mean by that is this. When you are captivated by the love of God, listen to this, you will also be wrecked by the love of God. When you're captivated by the love of God, he gives you a holy discontent. What's a holy discontent? I read this week. Listen to this. A holy discontent is a term many Christians use to describe a restless, God-given dissatisfaction with the way things are. A burden or an ache in your spirit that pushes you towards God's purposes. It's not an ordinary frustration. It's a spirit-stirred conviction that something in your life, your community, or in the world is not as God intends it to be, and you feel compelled to act. God's love wrecks you for something. It burdens you, and you cannot shake it. I think what happens, my friends, often in faith, is that God's divine power reveals his deep width, length, height of the love of God. Then you are filled with the fullness of God. You follow him, but because you are wrecked by his love, he builds in you a holy discontent, a burden where you become wrecked for something. It could be something about justice, and it wrecks you. It could be that you're filled with compassion about something. It could be something to do with the gospel or healing or restoration. It could be something to do with the church. It could be something to do with relationships. It could be something to do to serve. It could be at your workplace. But I want to suggest this. When you are captivated by the love of God, you also get wrecked by the love of God. They go together. And I love this in Ephesians 3, 14 to 20. Why? Because it goes beyond programs. It goes beyond institution, coming to church. It speaks of adventure. Do you know, we have programs in this church. They're good. But they're not enough. You know why it's not enough? Because this church is meant to be made full of individuals, hundreds of individuals, who are captivated by the love of Jesus, and they have their own personal holy discontent. Where you look at the world and your heart is broken for people. Let me read to you some suggestions on what a holy discontent can look like. This is a pastor writing this stuff about people in his church. He says this: I have a friend who was a retired airplane pilot. And early on in our relationship, I learned that he had fallen away from God during his high school days. A decision that led to his choosing to head down some terrible, life-threatening paths in his teenage years. Later on in his life, he surrendered himself to Christ wholeheartedly this time and learned that he could actually be useful in the high school ministry of his local church. For many years now, he has opened up his home every Monday night in order to cook a meal for his big group of students who convene week in and week out to enjoy fellowship and food with each other. He always refers to it as the best day of the week. A married couple I know hates the fact that so many church campuses are minimally landscaped and rarely demonstrate the unparalleled beauty of the Creator. So 20 years ago, they took it upon themselves to design, plant, and maintain several flower beds that led into the main entrance at our church, and they're still at it today. There is a carpenter in our church who's become a friend of mine. His dad was never around when he was growing up to care for his family or to fix what was broken around his house. His memories of his relational gap kept him fired up for all these years later to offer free handyman assistance to a group of single mums in our church. A woman I know went through a gut-wrenching and humiliating divorce several years ago and had nowhere to turn for help. She suffered through an agonizing process of recovery and now eats, drinks, and sleeps and breathes our church's divorce recovery ministry. One dad in my circle of friends was neglected and therefore hurt every deeply by emotional distance of his father. These days, he plays a key role in the dad's son and dad-daughter sessions at our camp. A business guy I know makes six figures a year but went bankrupt due to careless credit card spending. He hated what it did to him emotionally and spiritually, but he also grew to despise the social stigma attached to bankrupt individuals. Once he was back on his feet, he learned about our church's Good Sense financial planning ministry and became a budget counselor to young married couples. Can you imagine how much joy he derives from telling couples, I fell headlong into the terrible financial pit, but you don't have to let me show you the way out. See, what happens, my friends, is when we get gripped by love, we also get wrecked by it. And I believe that this church is meant to be a church full of individuals that God is revealing his length, width, and height and depth of his love. But as you get gripped by his love, you get wrecked by it and you discover a holy discontent. We have got to do something about it. You know, Apostle Paul said at one point, he has fought the good fight. You know what a good fight is? One, it's one that you win. It's not a good fight if you lose. It's also fighting the right fight. A good fight is fighting the right fight. And you know, a key in knowing that you're fighting the right fight? It's birthed from the love of Christ. And it's wrecked you. and you have a holy discontent. One of the ways you develop a holy discontent is this. You feed it. You know what we do often? We see something on TV and it's bad news, so we turn the other way. Or we're on social media and we see some bad stuff and we turn the other way. You know what we've got to do? When we see things that might hurt the heart of Jesus, we are meant to turn towards it, listen, pray about it, read up about it, Google it, and see if God would put his finger on something in your life to do something about that. Don't push it away, but move towards it. I want to suggest to you today that the message that God has for you is this. You need his divine help to know his love, because it's longer and higher and wider than you realize. The more you understand his love, the more the fullness of life you have, you become like Jesus. The more you understand his love, the more power you have, the strength to follow Jesus. And the more you understand his love, the more he'll give you a holy discontent for something that will break your heart, that you have to do something about it. We are meant to be a church full of individuals who have their own holy discontent. I heard of a pastor who was pastoring a large church, and they had fostered an environment where the church members had their own ministry, their own holy discontent. And someone asked his pastor, he said, do people ever complain about your sermons? He said, not once. He said, because they're too busy, passionately involved in their holy discontent to worry about things like sermons. Or what type of worship it was, or whether we sung the right songs, because I was too busy being affected by the love of God and a holy discontent. Amen. So my suggestion to you today is this. Start praying that God would reveal his love to you. You think you know his love? You have no idea. Because it's longer and wider and deeper than you could ever imagine. You're never going to arrive. So to be Apostle Paul, pray, God, give me a holy discontent. Birth it from a love that you have for me. Shape me with your love. Give me divine help. Give me your power to know your love. Pray it every day. May next year be a year where every single day you pray, God, reveal your love to me. So that you can have a holy discontent and your faith becomes this adventure and not just a program thing. Amen. What we want to do this morning is take communion. I heard a great statement as I was driving my car this morning. I get here early. Sometimes I'm too tired to pray because I fall asleep. And so I get in the car and pray. I don't fall asleep when I'm driving the car, but that's why I drive the car, because I want to pray. And so I'm driving around, I heard this song, and it said this: you become what you behold. You'll become what you behold. What you set in front of you, what you picture your face, your eyes on most, is what you'll eventually become like. You know what communion's doing? It's beholding the love of Jesus. He died on the cross for us. He rose from the dead for us. And we're going to take communion now just as a moment to say, God, we are beholding you and your love. So what we're going to do is, there's a communion at the back, communion at the front. Come down, grab some juice, grab some bread, take it back to seat and hold it, and then we're going to have communion together, and we're going to ask, God, would you reveal your love to us? So let's do that together. Let's stand. Jesus, we take this moment now to look into your face, a face that shines brightly like the sun, eyes with blazing fire. And we ask this, Lord, as we take communion now and remember that you were pierced on the cross for us, Lord, may you reveal your love to us. Open up our eyes, that we may see and understand how awesome and glorious your love is. And we take this bread now to remember the sacrifice that you made for us. And Lord, we drink the juice to remember that you bled for us. We drink that together in Jesus' name. Just really want to encourage you with the thought that two weeks ago when I preached last, I started talking about some of this stuff accidentally. And I felt like the Lord gave me a message for you 2 weeks ago. And I think the Lord wants to lay on some people's hearts to seek the face of Jesus more and to continue to ask him to reveal his love. And I have a feeling that God will give you a holy discontent for things as he reveals his love. He'll break your heart for something, and it will form a ministry in you, and it will form what you do with your time and your energy. It's what will keep you up at night, because he'll break your heart. He'll wreck you for something. So may as a church you be captivated by the love of Jesus, and may that turn into a holy discontent that you'll be wrecked for him in a really good way. Amen. Well, God bless you. Have a fantastic week. Enjoy yourselves. Remember that God loves you and his favor is on you. May God bless you. Feel free to hang out, have a coffee and a tea with us, and just spend some time together.